going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I mean, it's kind of lame and funny, this Texans-Browns pick trade. You know, what was this again?
I already forgot it.
A fifth and a 27-fifth for 2 sixes and a seventh. Everything but the one 2027 pick is in this draft, which starts tonight. However, I'll say this about it. The Browns had 10 picks, and the Texans had 7. And the net result, if that's not redundant, the result of this trade is Cleveland goes from 10 to 8, and Houston goes from 7 to 9. Both teams, how does this trade get made? Who even thinks of it? Both teams didn't think their number was optimal. So Cleveland says, I'll give you late ones for one better one and a pick in 2 years. And Houston says, okay, because we don't have the pick haul in the back half of the draft on Saturday. So that works. And nobody has any idea who the players are going to be.
Right.
But they took care of, the two teams took, they mutually took care of, something about their draft capital that wasn't quite right for them. And I say all this because of the point that you've made a lot and people have heard a lot, that the Bills having 10 picks, the same number as Cleveland had until 20 minutes ago, is maybe more than they need. So the problem with the Bills picks, though, unlike the Browns, is the Bills picks are not as late. The Browns have a seventh here. The Bills don't have a seventh at all. And what do they have, 1/6 or 2? I have to reset my...
I'm pretty sure they have more than 1/6 and maybe more than 1/4?
I think they have 3/5.
Oh,
let's just...
Okay, I'm way off.
2/4, 3/5, 2/6.
Okay, so multiple in all three of those rounds, but no sevens.
Yeah, so if they wanted... It's not original anymore because the Browns just did it. But if they wanted to do the same thing with somebody, find a team that needs picks like the Vikings, and what would it be? You trade two of your, I'm going to say five, so I don't have to say fifths every single time. 2 5s and the late sixth for like a fourth and a seventh, something like that, or a future pick. You could do that. You don't even need any picks here. You can just take two of those and see if you can find somebody who will give you a pick in the future. Would that be good? I don't know. Is that good? If you don't like 10, then do something about it.
Right.
Maybe the Bills do like 10.
I doubt that they like 10. I think they like having the picks, I think, because it will give them flexibility. And I just don't think they will draft more than 8 players this weekend, obviously starting tonight. So, sure. it is a way to divest yourself of some picks and get someone, you know, more in the mid-tier of the draft, which, again, like, I'm not going to make the point about the plateau extending that far into Saturday, the deep into Saturday or something, but, you know, you're going to get a better guy if you get a fourth, then you're probably going to get drafting all of those later picks that were, you know, two fifths and whatever they've got, three fifths. I can't say it either. Shocker.
Three fives.
Fifths. Two sixes. Yeah, I always had trouble with my S's. I went to therapy when I was a kid.
The S is the problem. It's not hard to say fifth round.
No, no problem at all. Fifth round, easy. Fifths.
That's not as easy.
I'll stop.
Well, here we go. I mean, it's less than 3 hours away now. The Bills at pick 30. it's been the conversation every day for a long time. What is it? Cornerback, defensive line, maybe there's a third position like wide receiver or even running back, dare I say it, that should be mentioned as a possibility. Linebacker, right? With safety. Those are all positions that have been used in mock drafts. And maybe I could find one where they picked a quarterback or a guard or something, but I have not seen it.
Right. You know, I have never seen an offensive lineman tied to the Bills. Now, I haven't read through any 7-round mocks. I mean, I just have not sat down and done that.
Really?
No.
That's
just
surprising.
Just not going to do it. I want to stop short of saying I refuse to do it, but I haven't felt the need to do it, so I haven't done it. But yeah, linemen, I just don't see offensive linemen just at all. And it makes sense. I mean, that's not to say they won't grab one, you know, if they end up drafting 8 players. Maybe one of them is, a tackle or a guard or someone that they can stash away and develop. But they have already kind of a stable of those guys to begin with. And I say you wouldn't want to add to it. So I'm not saying they won't pick one, but with any kind of a premium pick, that would shock me. I want to say even more than a linebacker. Because they're kind of all set right now. If they trust that someone from the stable of backups could take over for a David Edwards if he ages out or gets hurt or whatever. And, you know, Deion Dawkins is not, you know, he was drafted the year before Josh Allen, right? So, you know, we're going to get there eventually with Deion Dawkins. But I don't need someone on deck there. I know there's always injury, but again, they've got a stable of backups. So I think an offensive lineman would shock me more than even running back.
Me too.
Or even linebacker. Because linebacker, at least you do have Milano, maybe like the redone contract. He's done after this year. Bernard has been injury, you know, he's had his share of injuries. Not that he's, I want to stop short. Maybe you notice I stopped myself from saying injury prone, mm-hmm. But he's, you know, he's missed here or there, nicks and whatever. So, you know, getting another guy, if it were to fall right, I wouldn't like it, but it would not stun me the way an offensive lineman would. I just do not see an offensive lineman until Saturday. Into the thing Saturday afternoon.
Of course, the easiest way, I want to say, I don't think it should be a goal exactly for the Bills to want to lessen their amount of draft picks. I still think the main point is not how many of your draft picks would have a realistic chance of making the team. I mean, if you have picks in the sixth round, you know, I know Benford happened, so did Tom Brady, but the odds aren't great no matter how many you have. I mean, the Bills are a good team with a deep, pretty good roster. So, needless to say, the easiest way, though, to change that is to trade up. That's what you do. Minnesota, we talked about this already, but you would think they're sitting there with 4 draft picks going, can we find our way to a couple more? How do we do that? I don't know what their needs are exactly. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about the Vikings, but I mean, they had a great season. And if they're pretty neutral on, you know, who they need from this draft, they're absolutely a perfect candidate yep. to make a trade like this. And this is about the cost that it would be, I would guess, 24 to 30 for one of the 4s and one of the 5s. That's about right by this draft tech chart. The Bills could go from 10 to 8 in terms of total draft picks by moving up six spots in the first round.
And it's a 4 and a 5.
Yeah, about.
Now, is that, you've said before, this chart is often a little light.
I think so.
All right.
But you don't have a third.
Yeah.
And that's the round where you would, that's the easier fit, I think. A second round is pretty rich. But they don't have a third. I think that's significant.
Yeah, I do too. And that price, that to me is not a price that Brandon Bean would balk at.
No, I agree.
Now, it does, you know, I don't want to just, you know, flip them, you know, senselessly. And not that that would be that. But it might reduce your flexibility on Saturday if you make that move, because you're depleting two of those, and that might make it harder to move around on Saturday. But what are you doing it for on Thursday? Right? I mean, if you're going from 30 to 24, it's because there is a corner that you really like. There is a D tackle that you really like. Maybe 30 to 24 gets you Kenneth Grant.
That's right.
Maybe 30 to 24 gets you the third best corner.
That's right. The Rams are 26, and they are said to want a cornerback.
And it could even get you like a better edge rusher than you would get if you stay at 30. Could get you Matthew Golden if you want to do receiver. Certainly, I think. Certainly, I don't want to say anything is certain because it's not. We don't know how the order is going to go, but it feels to me like one of those things would be true. Like one of those things is likely to happen, that one of those guys is in that range.
Yep.
And so now that simply becomes a matter of, do the Bills like the when they sat with him, does he check all Bills DNA and all that stuff, right? If those players I just mentioned match up with what they always are looking for, I could see them paying that price to go from 30 to 24. And I could see you not loving it, and me not caring that much.
Yeah,
and being excited, especially for like Matthew Golden is my favorite idea at receiver. I just don't think it's attainable, so I haven't really like invested in it emotionally.
But McMillan might be. I don't know if you want him. Some guessers have him falling.
Yeah,
Ibuka, and of course Omarion Hampton. Needs to be mentioned here. I have to be careful because I have for many years been opposed to this kind of strategy. Like, it's easy. It's a simple argument. It never changes. You don't know, right? You said it in your discussion there, your commentary there, the better edge rusher. That's the point. I mean, you don't know who's actually going to be better. We've got countless examples of being wrong about that. So just give me the more bullets, so to speak. As I get more attached to names, as we have spent months talking every day about these names, I have to be. I want to make sure I don't get attached. Like, oh, well, if I don't make this, this is what happens to the Bills. This is what happens to teams. If I don't make this move, I'm not getting Amos because the Rams will take him. If I don't make this move, I'm not getting Dalton Kincaid because Dallas will take him. If I don't make this move, I'm not getting Kyrie Elam. So, well, I know I'm not trying to leave out the good ones, right? Allen was obviously a trade-up, and almost nothing else matters. You don't know it at the time, but once you draft Allen, go for it. And that's always part of the argument that gets made
about trading up. And the jury is still to some extent out on Kincaid. I mean, it's been 2 years, and it was injuries last year. So I want to give him this year before I start really saying that did not turn out, because he did catch 73 balls as a rookie.
Fair enough. He's still on the team, unlike Elam.
Right. But it hasn't looked great. It hasn't smashed at all. There's no argument there. What do you think happens in my house if they go from 30 to 24?
Ooh, this is a good question.
And... Well, I already said it's not going to be Paul Tagliabue. I think the Bills have a guest to announce the pick.
You mean Goodell?
What did I say?
Tagliabue.
Wow.
I'll give you a pass on that.
What happened
because
there?
We were talking about commissioners today.
No, I haven't said Tagliabue's name in 30 years. What the hell was that?
We have some draft fatigue.
Is this
here.
Where I want to tell you we that have... walking in today? When I reached for my fob, I grabbed my car keys and it did not last. I'm taking way longer to even say it. I looked at my car keys for a second and thought to click a button to get in the door here. I got over it quickly, but it shook me. I was like, oh God, is this the start of something? And now this Tagliabue thing on top of it. Now I'm scared. Anyway, what the hell was I saying? Oh, what happens in my house when it's not going to be Gary Bettman? It's not going to be Goodell. This person the Bills have chosen goes up there and says
somebody's representing the Bills
announces the pick. The Bills draft safety Nick Emmanuel from South Carolina. After moving up from 30 to 24, I'm going to stop short of saying I'm running naked in the streets, but I might be naked in my house. I might be just running around doing loops around my foyer, kitchen, dining room, living room, like Owen and I did when the Sabres won the Darlene lottery. We were both clothed.
It would be a fun. It would be a fun player to talk about.
Yeah.
Here's Jeff with us. Hi, Jeff.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great.
So I was going through the last bits of the mocks from a bunch of the online guys, and I was surprised to see about four or five of these drafts had Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, falling to 30 to the Bills.
Yeah.
Which I found odd because for all offseason, he seemed to be like the number one guy off the board, a top 12 pick. And then they had about five guys today have him be the third guy off the board behind Harrison and Barron. And I'm just wondering, it seems weird on draft that all of a sudden he's falling.
It might be a function of teams leaking to reporters that they're worried about something. It's medical on him. There were injuries this year. You mentioned specifically what they were. I had him confused with Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. He's another corner that has been hurt. He's got a hip injury that I think teams might, I've read a few times, they might be worried that it's, a thing that he might have a shorter career because of, kind of thing, right? And Johnson is different injuries than that. It's not as threatening, like career longevity wise, but he was dinged up.
It was a little confusing to me reading about it, like a hamstring injury that might have been knee related or something, and he had turf toe. So I don't know, Jeff, but you're right to have seen it.
Yeah.
In fact, I have Evan Silva's mock draft in front of me. He doesn't have Johnson going in the first round. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to get the guy if he stays healthy, but it was just weird to see that big of a drop, from all offseason to on draft day.
Right. And that's our explanation is the best we've got for that. I don't know if it has to be right. You can obviously also find mock drafts where he goes, maybe in the top 10 even.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it stated very definitively. Again, that doesn't make it fact. It's still, different draft analysts' opinion. But if he didn't have any injury concerns, he'd be the first corner picked.
Other than Hunter,
right. He'd be ahead of the Texas guy. He'd be the guy. But there is some fear about his injury.
So Evan has Hairston at 23, Amos at 26, Barron, the Texas guy, Jahdae Barron, at 29, and no Will Johnson. Just one effort.
And what does he have the Bills doing in that scenario?
Matthew Golden,
right.
He had a wide receiver for them in the first one he did.
I lowered my voice there. I'm getting like a Barry White territory. Matthew Golden.
Didn't Evan have a receiver going to the Bills in the first one he did? We talked about it with him.
Maybe it was Burden?
Maybe it was Burden. Yeah, I think it was Burden.
That might have been what turned you on to him in the first place. Because I know you think so highly of Evan.
I do, yes. Maybe it was. Ibuka to Baltimore in this mock. 27, then Golden to the Bills. What do you think for Baltimore? Baltimore will pick somebody, and everybody, no pun intended, will rave about it. Oh, what value.
Right, because they're so smart.
I think that's often been proven right.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, no, I wasn't. Whatever.
Other times, there was a story, this came up on ADP Chasing, I got to remember it. When they picked Isaiah Likely, which was not a first-round pick, whatever year this was. The Steelers took, is it Calvin Austin? Might that have been right? The Steelers took somebody right in front of them This was like on video. I have not seen it. Mm-hmm. But the story goes something like this. The Steelers took a player right in front of them. They were just, it's the middle of the draft. They're just assuming they're going to get him. And they can't, he's picked right in front of them. And they like had no idea what to do. And somebody says, it was Greg Roman was there. And maybe, as I remember the story being told to me, somebody like Harbaugh turns to Roman. Who was that tight end you liked? Or something like that. Isaiah Likely. Because they'd already picked a tight end in that draft.
It's amazing.
There's three times in recent years where Baltimore picked two tight ends in the same draft. Mm-hmm. And all three times, the second guy was better. When they picked Andrews, they'd already picked Hayden Hurst. And by the way, they picked Lamar Jackson in between mm-hmm. Hayden Hurst and Andrews. And then this was Charlie Kolar and Likely. And there's a third example with Baltimore where they did the same thing.
What number are they picking again?
27.
I like them for a running back.
I don't hate it.
I mean, Derrick Henry is not going to live forever. And nothing. And that's it. So you're probably looking at another year, two at most, I think, of like optimal Derrick Henry. I don't know, maybe he's the freak show in a body that big that just is so durable that he lasts and lasts and lasts. I don't know. But I could see them doubling down on that position anyway. Not with draft picks, but you know what I'm saying? Like loading up is really a better way to phrase it.
They have 11 picks.
So I don't know. I could see them being drawn to that.
A lot of teams where I think that argument is right, I think it should be day two, though, because of the many options you have. I would predict it for day two for Baltimore. They just have their regular picks at that 27 slot for the first four rounds, and then they're a little bit all over the place when we get to Saturday. 803-0550, the draft starts tonight, round one, 8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today and all through this very lengthy pre-draft discussion that's been going on for months. We will continue it after the update here on WGR.